in relation to people who have concerns about matters of discrimination or abuse of rights, the processes are different, mm-hmm. and possibly the outcomes are different going through the procedures. So are you able to tell us what the pros and cons are with rapporteur?
There are a number of procedures in the UN system. They're the procedures connected with the, what are called the treaty monitoring bodies, these bodies that are connected with the multilateral treaties like the CERD Convention or the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. Then another important treaty monitoring body of relevance here in Australia is the Human Rights Committee, not the Council on Human Rights. It gets very confusing. But the Human Rights Committee is attached to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the ICCPR, and it has a complaint procedure as well as a periodic review procedure. All these treaty monitoring bodies have periodic review procedures, meaning the governments submit reports on human rights conditions connected with the treaty, and then the treaty monitoring body reviews those. And that's happened in, with regard to Australia in some significant ways for, in, of importance to Aboriginal people here. You know, for example, CERD review of Australia, I think it was 2005, and I have, looking at it here, had a number of comments on significance to Indigenous people. CERD asked questions about, made comments about the abolition of the of ATSIC, and asked Australia what it was going to do to replace that as a mechanism of dialogue with Aboriginal people. It also asked about the amendments that made the Title Act, health conditions in certain places for Native peoples. This is just the part of the periodic review procedure by which states, governments report to the committees, and then the committee just engages in a review. And that's always an opportunity for people to engage with the international system, because these committees receive what are called shadow reports. These are informal reports that NGOs and Indigenous organizations can submit. And the committees, they take these very much into account. And if one actually goes to Geneva when the I believe Fles has on a number of occasions, when the committee, when the country's under review, there's an opportunity to actually talk to the committee members, orient them, and even, you know, engage in the drafting of the questions and conclusions that are put to the government.
Jim, I just might jump in that I think a number of people in the room have participated in shadow reports, and particularly recently we shadow reports on the two covenants that have gone in. So probably have four or five of the organizations here.
Yeah, then you have the complaint procedures, which are specific complaint procedures like the one under Article 14 of CERD and the one on the optional protocol. And those, I should say, are procedures, those complaint procedures are procedures that can end up in a report that evaluates the particular situation. Like in this case, ideally, they'll receive it, they'll send it off to the government. The government might challenge admissibility, you know, saying it doesn't fall under the convention or something of that nature. Domestic remedies weren't exhausted, although that's not a firm rule in the CERD procedure. If it's admitted, then it'll go through an adjudication and they'll come up with a report. That's the ideal. And the report could find a violation and then make recommendations. And that's typically it. The same with the optional protocol procedure with the, under the ICCPR. Complaint can be submitted to the Human Rights Committee. If they admit it, they'll evaluate it, then will come out a report. The report looks like a sort of looks like a judicial judgment, something that would come out of a court, except it's not formally binding on the country. It's really a recommendation. Although it is phrased in terms of a finding of, in terms of findings of fact and law and legal conclusions and those kind of things. So you can't find violations. And these committees can find violations. Then, as I mentioned before, there are the communications to my mandate, the Special Rapporteur on Indigenous People. I mean, I receive communications, and but there's no set procedure to follow. I mean, it's more ad hoc. It just depends on the nature of it, of the communication, the circumstance, the possibility of engagement in some constructive way. You know, what my response will be will depend on particular circumstances. What I try to do, and I receive, five, six, seven a day. So, I mean, it's, and the staff is really quite thin. Geneva, I have my own staff, and University of Arizona that supplements the Geneva staff. So what we try to do is we try to identify trends in a country and group together complaints around particular trends, so that when we then communicate with the government, we're looking at a systemic issue and not just the isolated case. Part of it's a resource issue. Also, it's a way I think I can be more effective, as opposed to just looking at isolated cases. And then the governments, they have a way of disaggregating issues. If they're just looking at one case, they say, oh, well, this was really not that bad. Or they always have an answer. But if you look at a system, a whole systemic issue, a problem, and how things relate together, then there are often greater possibilities of getting the government to take seriously a communication to them and saying, look, what's going on here? So, if you're ever thinking about, this is something that theoretically you should submit to my office, the Special Rapporteur office, and what I would probably do if I received that, I would look at that connection with a number of other issues happening in Australia. And at this point, since I'm planning a visit here, I would probably not do an inquiry to the government, but fold that into part of my work during the visit, and then look at that issue along with other issues as part of the visit, and then include that in the report. So it just depends, in terms of communications to me. If it's a really urgent issue, like I was talking about before, something that needs immediate attention, where I think that some kind of immediate intervention of calling on the government to do something, or a public statement, press release, I might do that if I think that could help. And I have done that on a number of occasions.